Okay, let's start.
Even remember to record.
Top. Eitan, you have a chumash with you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Eliyahu has. You have a. Oh, that's.
Which room is this?
307.
Which room is this?
307.
Oh,
very short. You know, over the years it got different names. Okay. Tov. So, we're already parshiot-wise in the middle of Sefer Devarim, but we didn't think of the Ben Zmanim get to meet. So we're going to start trying to understand Sefer Devarim right now. And more so than a Parsha Shir. Well, this is a Chumash Devarim Shir. And one of the focus through which we're going to try to understand this week, Bezrat Hashem, future weeks, Sefer Dvarim is going to be in the context of what Sefer Dvarim seems very clearly to be escorting and guiding and supporting and bringing us into, and that is into Yemei Atshuva. And that's very clear. It's very clear both in terms of the structure, as we will see soon, and in terms of the content, that Sefer Devarim is responsible for the completion of 1 year to the giving birth of a new year and to the entire tshuva process that binds the end of 1 year and the beginning of another year. And Sefer Devarim, as I said, both structurally and content-wise, seems to be completely there. What do I mean by structure? And then we'll go into content. By structure, I mean, and that is, we know, in terms of the halachically speaking, we know that there are specific stations which Sefer Devarim is positioned so, not only in Sefer Devarim, but Sefer Devarim, it's very clear cut, that it needs to be read over the course of a process that's built in. Which, what do I mean by that? We know that Sefer Devarim is meant to begin at the Shabbat before Tisha B'Av, meaning every year, Shabbat Chazon, meaning Shabbat that leads into Tisha B'Av, and is Parshat Devarim. In the same fashion, Parshat Vayetchanan is always Parshat Nacham, is always Shabbat Nacham. Always, every year, Parshat Nitzavim is the Shabbat that takes us into Rosh Hashanah, with all kind of fascinating links that are spoken about in all Sfarim, Akdoshim, and all Sifrei Chassidut. Atem Nitzavim Hayom, Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, Atem Nitzavim Hayom. Chazal already teaches us, Hayom is always hinting towards the Yom, with a capital A, and that is Rosh Hashanah. Has expressions in many different places. And, of course, the ending of Sefer Devarim, which comes together with the ending of the year, meaning on Shmini Atzeret or Simchat Torah, where that's the end of the entire process, meaning the end of Sefer Devarim, which is the end of all the annual reading of Torah Moshe, comes together on the same day of the ending of the entire Moedim process, which Simchas Torah or Shmini Atzeret is the last and completing and the chitum of the entire process of the regalim of Yamim Noraim. I'll just emphasize, we're not talking Moedim right now, we're talking Parshiot right now, but I will emphasize Shmini Atzeret is the completion. Sukkot in general, but specifically Shmini Atzeret, is the completion and the binding together of the two categories of Moedim Doraita that we have. One being the regalim, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. The other one being Moadei Tishrei, Yemei Adin, and that is Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. But also we know Hoshana Rabbah and Shmini Atzeret, and that means that Shmini Atzeret binds together, or even Sukkot as a whole, belongs both to the Gimel Regalim and to Moadei Tishrei. It's not our topic right now, but in any case, Shmini Atzeret binds all of them together. There's a fascinating point which we'll not talk about now, maybe later on, and that is that all parshiot of the year are read on Shabbat, just based on the fact that Shabbat originally was the day when Torah was given. Torah was given lekuli alma, omeret haGemara b'masechet Shabbat, on Shabbat, and the basis of that kriyas haTorah is always on Shabbat. There is profound meaning behind it. Besides the other aspects, that's the time where people come to shul and the gathering of the community, that there's more profound levels of meaning over there. But in any case, dafka, the completion of the entire Torah Moshe does not take place on Shabbat, rather on a moed. Meaning somehow Torah Shebichtav switches at the very last parsha from Shabbatot to the realm and category of Moadim, which in itself is very very thought-provoking point. Yes, Eitan.
Something that I was thinking a couple weeks back was that in this concept of the structure of how the parshiot align with the time of the year, specifically for Devarim, it's interesting how Elul always begins with the parsha of Re'eh, I think. So it's interesting because Dafka, as Rebbe points out, the parshiot of the detailed halacha, not the more Musar Shuva parshiot of Chanan and Akev, but rather it's Re'eh, the detailed parshiot of Re'eh and Shoftim, that's how we enter Elul, in the more nitty gritty. So you would think it's the opposite. So I had thought, I don't know if you're able to tell me, but really because that's Hagufa, how we're supposed to enter the process of Tshuva, is grounded. You first begin with the Hachor, and then you...
I hear. Nice. One has to develop it more. Nachon, you're right. Re'eh Shoftim in Ki Teitzeh, being the mitzvot ha-ma'asiyot aspects of Sefer Mishneh Torah. Nachon. Okay, right. Never thought about it in the context that you're saying right now. To give it more thought. Okay, so in any case, structure-wise, it's very clear that Sefer Devarim is escorting and responsible for the transformation of one year to the other. And I'll even tell you another thing, that is, I don't think I'm in a madrig at all to give titles to Chumashim, but if I were to give a title to Chumash Devarim, I have a few on my list, but one of them would be Sefer HaTshuvah. Sefer HaTshuvah. One expression of it is, of course, that Parshiyat HaTshuvah, later on in Parshat Nitzavim, some people have a minute to read it every morning. There's Parshat HaBchira and Parshat HaTshuvah. The Shavda Ad Hashem Elokecha V'Shamata B'Kolo, according to some, that's where Mitzvah HaTshuvah is actually counted as a mitzvah. There's a lot of discussions in the Rishonim and Achronim about it. But in any case, I suspect I allow myself to suggest the possibility that the one valid, legitimate definition of, just like the Ramban calls the Sefer Shemot, Sefer HaGeula, Sefer Dvarim being Sefer HaTshuvah. In any case, let's go into it. First of all, there is a pasuk. I don't know if I've thought of the following on my own, or that I actually heard it or saw seen it brought down. I'm convinced that it's brought down. And it's a pasuk in Tere Asar, in Sefer Hoshea. We read it on Shabbat Shuva. And that is, K'chu imachem dvarim v'shuvu el Hashem. K'chu imachem dvarim v'shuvu el Hashem. Take dvarim, take words with you and return to Hashem. The pasuk continues. That's a pasuk in Sefer Hoshea. As I said, part of the haftarah of Shabbat Shuva. K'chu imachem dvarim v'shuvu el Hashem. And it's somewhat of a vort. I don't mean it that that's necessarily the meaning of the pasuk, but in this context, k'chu imachem dvarim v'shuvu el Hashem, take with you Sefer Devarim and return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? So even if one takes it as like a nice vort or a chassidish vort, still it doesn't contradict the meaning that lies behind it. That's a pasuk that calls for a lot of attention. And whatever we talk about the relationship between Chumash Dvarim and Tshuva processes needs to, in any case, beyond the Vort aspect, takes this pasuk into consideration, because we see that whatever this pasuk means, it's saying a lot, and Chazal were sensitive to that. Just today, I checked some midrashim on it. There's a lot of midrashim in Chazal on this one pasuk, half a pasuk. Chui machem dvarim, take words with you and come to Hashem and return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like, what does that mean? So we're going to try now and continue Bezrat Hashem in the coming weeks to make some sense of it. So let's start entering into it. So first of all, let's open up our Sefer Devar. And I'm sure we've done it in the past, but before we start any discussion, starting at the beginning of the book, let's actually skip to towards the summing up of the book. Okay? Take a chumash, please. And open up Parshat Ki Tavoh. And we're going to see Psukim that La'aniyut da'ati put the entire Sefer Devarim into a certain very specific, very significant context. I'm talking about, open up your chumashim, please. Sefer Devarim, Perek Kafchet, Pasuk Samechtet. Perek Kafchet, Pasuk Samechtet. Chapter 28, Pasuk 69. That's a long chapter. We'll see in a moment why. Okay? Perek Kafchet, Pasuk Samechtet. I'm really interested in the next psukim, Perek Kaftet, but just to see the context of where we're coming from, what it's juxtaposition with. Ele divrei habrit asher tziva Hashem et Moshe lichrot et bnei Yisrael be'eretz Moav milvad habrit asher karat itam b'chorev. This pasuk that I just read is the closing pasuk, and that sums up the brit of Parashat Ki Tavoh. What's the brit of Parashat Ki Tavoh? As we heard in this pasuk itself, there is a brit that Hashem commands Moshe to make with Klal Yisrael. Here in Arvot Moav, Ele Divrei Habrit Asher Tziva Hashem Et Moshe Lichrot Et Bnei Yisrael Be'eretz Moav. Besides the brit that Hashem made with Klal Yisrael in Chorev, what is Chorev? Which mountain is Har Chorev? Har Sinai. Another name for Har Sinai is Har Chorev, which means there is one brit over Torah that was made in Har Sinai, according to many of the Mefarshim, that's Parshat Bechukotai at the end of Sefer Vayikra, which also has Brachot and Klalot. What happens if we follow the laws of Hashem? Bracha. And the opposite, Chalila, if we don't follow the laws of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here again, we find a parsha of brachot and klalot, sometimes called and referred to as tochecha, and as a brit at the end of the 40 years. Meaning, the end of the 40 years on the border of the Jordan of Eretz Israel necessitates its own brit. It's signing of its own brit. And that pasuk sums it up, Ele divrei habrit asher tziva Hashem et Moshe, etc. Following that, now let's see the psukim that I was interested in. Perek kaftet pasuk aleph, look inside, vayikra Moshe el kol Yisrael. Now listen to this. I find these, Eitan I'm sure has heard this in the past, highly thought-provoking psukim on many levels. Vayikra Moshe el kol Yisrael vayomer alehem. Atem ra'item et kol asher asa Hashem le'enechem be'eretz Mitzrayim lefaro lechol avadav ulechol haratzo. Moshe calls all Israel. Okay, we're talking about the closing days of his life. The next pasuk, Parshat Nitzavim, is spoken about already that's Moshe Rabbeinu's last day of his life. Okay? But in any case, whether it's the last day, the last days of his life, he's gathering Klais, and he says to them, Atem ritem, look inside. Kedai to see the psukim inside. Atem ritem et kol asher asa Hashem le'enechem be'eretz Mitzrayim. You have seen with your eyes all that Hashem has done in front of your eyes, in front of you. Be'eretz Mitzrayim, all the miracles, the makot, leparo, lechol avadav, lechol haratzo. You've seen all that God did to the Egyptians. I continue. Hamasot hagdolot asher ra'u einecha, ha'otot ve'hamoftim hagdolim ahem. And now comes pasuk gimel. And this is the pasuk that I'm interested in. And I'm adding unspoken words. Though you have seen 40 years ago all these miracles and the makot of Mitzrayim, yet, these are all words that I'm adding in between, פסוק ג', ולא נתן השם לכם לב לדעת ועיניים לראות ואוזניים לשמוע עד היום הזה. Yet God did not provide you with a heart, I don't want to translate, לב לדעת, okay? Whatever lev ladat means, and I'm not translating it to English because it's going to ruin it. Lev ladat ve'einayim lirot ve'oznayim lishmoa ad hayom hazeh. What a fascinating pasuk. Here the Torah states 40 years ago, okay, we're talking the generation of the parents, but we're not making a distinction right now between one generation and the other. We're talking about Klal Yisrael as a whole. You've seen the miracles in Mitzrayim. You've seen Aseret HaMakot, but you did not, till today, receive all these years, not then, and not over the course of the 40 years, not a lev ladat, and not einayim lirot, and not oznayim lishmoa, ad hayom hazeh. To say it in simple words, you saw, but you didn't really see what was going on. You didn't chav. You didn't comprehend. You didn't hear, and you were did not have a heart, a lev ladat. Okay? Meaning they did not, in our simple language, perceive, comprehend, understand what their eyes were seeing. Now, this is so much so that the Gemara in two places in Shas teaches us, I think one in Sanhedrin and one in Avodah Zarah, I think, learns from these psukim, and Rashi brings it down over here, that from this we learn that she'en adam omed al sof da'ato shel rabo ad acharei 40 shana. That you do not, a person is not capable of understanding the end product, the bottom line, the essence, the depth, the secret, the inside of what his Rebbe taught him, rather only after 40 years. The Gemara learns that from here. She'en adam omed al sof da'ato shel rabo עד אחרי 40 שנה. Because here, בני ישראל, כלל ישראל, they're תלמידים, and they don't have Moshe Rabbeinu's revelations, or God's revelations to them. They saw it, but they didn't have it. So from this, we learn in general, don't think when your Rebbe taught you that you really got it. You may have gotten the outer skirts of it, the outer garments, but the real essence of it, you only get after 40 years. That's thought-provoking as can be. That means that Divrei Torah are so highly profound and multi-layered that it takes 40 years to digest them. It's mind-boggling.
Wouldn't someone forget it by then?
What?
Wouldn't someone forget it by then?
If you did not apply v'yadat ayom v'hashavot el levavecha. And he did not apply the name that Chazal gave to this book. They don't call it Sefer Devarim. They call it Sefer Mishneh Torah, which means, on the most simple level, the repetition of Torah, Lishnot, like Mishnah, to repeat, Einachinami. Remind me your name?
Doron,
right. So it was Doron saying that then a person will forget. But let's assume that we do go over it, and over and over and over, in 40 years, we'll chap. Now, of course, it's a thought-provoking time of life, because it's like a half of a lifetime, right? You know that I always say that in Tiberias, I don't know who told me once this point, in Tiberia, in the mountains hovering over Tiberia, hovering over the Kinneret, there's the, assuming that it's true, but it's the, there's a tzion there for the kever of Rabbi Akiva, and right next to it is the kever of the Ramchal, right? Moshe Chaim Lutzato. Also, two of the biggest mekubalim that Klal Yisrael ever had, a very different generation from Akiva, who opened up the gates into the Pardes, into the orchard of the secret of Klal Yisrael, and the Ramchal. So somebody once said that it's interesting that they're buried right next to each other, because one teaches you how much you can accomplish in 40 years of a lifetime, which is the Ramchal. He died around age 40. And the other teaches you how much you can accomplish from 40 and on. And that is, of course, Rabbi Akiva. Okay? But in general, we know that age 40, today they say it's really different, but that's the stage where a person can allow himself to enter into the deeper realms of Torah, into the world of Sod, into the world of Nistar. Clearly it's communicating with what we're talking about over here. Okay? Person, Ben Arbaim Lebina. to be able to hitbonen, to understand, to go into the depth, one needs 40 years. But in any case, I want to extrapolate it. I want to expand on it. In what way do I want to expand on it? I want to expand on it on the following level. And that is, listen to the discrepancy. This is a scary discrepancy that exists in a human life between what we experience, what we perceive, and reality. Meaning, what comes out of this psukim is that what you chap of reality and reality is not the same thing. And that's as significant as can be. Where does that meet us in our life? Constantly. This is an issue that people can ruin their marriages over. What is that? This conviction that so many people suffer from, that is, the way I see things, that's the way things are. As opposed to, the way I see things is merely the way I see things, but that's not the way things are, it's the way I see them. And that means that my wife can see them differently, or my chavrusa can see them differently, or somebody of a different hashkafa, a different world, you can see it differently. But if, and some people unfortunately suffer from this, they haven't chapped this, nobody ever educated them that, or they tried and they didn't succeed, these can be very difficult people to be around, because they, and you meet these people sometimes, and that are people who are convinced that the way they see things, the way they're used to doing things, the way they want things to be, that's the way things are. And that's one of the most horrible and destructive mistakes that one can manufacture in his life. And one of the most maturing stages that a person reaches in adulthood and is entering into a stage where I realize that the way I see things is not necessarily the way things actually are. It's only the way I comprehend them. It's the only way that's filtered into my system. And there's a discrepancy, a built-in discrepancy between reality and my comprehension of reality, because my subjective and relative eyes and ears do not allow me to perceive reality, rather only the perception of what reality and how much of it that comes in. And Ashrei Ha'ish, that reaches that realization when he's young, it means that he can get married young. And Oy vey for the person who does not reach this realization, because he could be extremely destructive. All human relationships sit on this point. So, la'aniyut dati, I believe. People who are self-centered, people who cannot see outside of their own box, are people who destroy relationships. They're unpleasant to be around. Here, take into consideration, we always quote, the Gemara says that in Masechet Eruvim, famous Gemara, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Bet, 3 years was there a machloket between Beit Shama and Beit Hillel. Do you paskin like Beit Shama? You paskin like Beit Hillel. Until the Gemara concludes, a bat kol came out and said, both are living words of Hashem, and yet halacha ke Beit Hillel. And why? And one of the main things that the Gemara says there, Beit Hillel were humble enough to not only give over their opinion, but also Beit Shammai's opinion, and more so, they would first quote Beit Shammai's opinion, and only then they would argue. That means that they had the ability to see things from the perspective of Beit Shammai, even though they were Beit Hillel, and they were able to put themselves in their shoes. And that's the way we paskin. Meaning, if I extrapolate that, the Gemara paskins, or the Batkel, the heavenly voice coming down from God, paskins that's the way to relate to disagreement. That the way to relate a disagreement is by first of all considering and giving over and relaying your opponent's perspective. And only if you do that could there be legitimacy to your perspective. And if you're not able to do that, that means that the chances are very high that you're wrapped up not in a machloket l'shem shamayim, but in a machloket she'ena l'shem shamayim. That is one's ego, one's need to win an argument, etc., etc., which means he's very still unpleasantly busy with himself and not with the truth, with a capital T. Okay? So I'm only giving that as an example where the Gemara paskins, like that approach that considers, has enough tolerance and enough humility to produce space for the other perspective. He who goes into marriage equipped with this approach has the most important tools, la'aniyut dati, for success. And he who has not acquired it, he or she who have not Oy vey.
To see things in other perspective.
Because when that's not, he's not going to be able to respect his wife's perspective. Or she would not have the respect to respect her husband's perspective. And respect, kavod, and Eitan can testify, anybody who's married well knows that, mutual kavod between the husband and the wife is the spine of the marriage. And if that's chas v'shalom lacking, their marriage is terribly challenged. Kavod. And that's needs to guide me in my dating. The girl that I'm seriously dating, do I have a profound, authentic, genuine kavod towards her? Respect for her qualities, for her perspectives, where they may be different than mine, and when we get married, many more differences will come out between the two of us. And that's fine. It's ezel kenegdo. We're not meant to be identical. And it's true in marriage. And marriage is only an icon and only an eye-opener for all our relationships. Meaning I personally, Amos Lubin, sees legitimacy in hashkafic arguments only if the Haredi guy is able to give over a very clear perspective presentation of the Dati Lumi worldview, and then disagree with it, I hear, I respect that. If you're not able to, I'm not interested in listening to you. Because you're overly wrapped up. You're not giving space to somebody else. You're living the conviction that you're right and there's no other truth other than yours. I run away from it. Personally, I run away from that.
People only think they're right. They don't see other things, like they can say, I hear what you're saying, but I don't agree with you.
Okay.
Just think about what they think.
Okay. What Doron said is exactly, at least say, it has to be real, I hear what you're saying. However, the other person is going to, it then opens up the space, it's enough humility to produce real communication. Because most arguments don't get there. Everybody is wrapped up in his perspective, and if he allows the other one to speak, it's only to, in his mind, what he's doing is preparing already a response to make sure that he wins. That means that his self, his, in harsher terms, his ego is very busy and at high pace at that moment. And that means he's lacking the humility to search for the truth. He's searching for himself. He's searching for victory. He may not admit it to others. He may not even admit it to himself. He may not be conscious of it. He may hasn't learned himself enough to know that weakness, human weaknesses that we all suffer from. And that's the default of all people unless they work on themselves. The default is to think the way I see things, that's the way things are. That's nature. That's natural. But if a person would say, but what do you want? It's natural. It's natural. When can a Jew say that justified the claim? Yosef HaTzadik could also say it's natural for a young 17-year-old or a young guy to give in to seduction of a beautiful woman, whether she's married or not, it's natural. But Yosef became Yosef HaTzadik and did not remain another Joe in the marketplace because he went beyond the natural into the supernatural, which is the presence of the neshama, the realm of the godly, self-discipline from a higher degree. So, to say a Jew, chas v'shalom, that a Jew should say it's natural. It's natural, and I'm expected to go beyond the natural. It's the same thing also here. The default, the nature of man, the way I see things, that's the way things are. Torah is trying very hard to open our eyes, and I think Sefer Devarim is detrimental. It's crucial. And producing this consciousness, so as we will see soon, we don't have that much time, but as we will see soon, I think that's what Sefer Devarim is busy doing, is cracking that perspective that the way we think reality is, that or the way, again, we think reality is, that's the way reality is. We'll see in a moment how Sefer Devarim, I believe, builds that up stage after stage. But we already see that when the Sefer Devarim starts summing itself up in Parshat Ki Tavoh, it does it exactly as such. Sefer Devarim, there, in light of these psukim, let's see the pasuk again. You've seen all the miracles, and yet, ולא נתן השם לכם לב לדעת ועיניים לראות ואוזניים לשמוע עד היום הזה, That puts, in my eyes, all Sefer Devarim in the following context, which is Sefer Mishneh Torah, Chazal call it, which means let's read everything again. Let's reread everything. But this time, now we'll chap it in a way. Chap means...
Yeah.
You're sorry, no? Chap means to perceive and to comprehend it this time around in a way that I didn't. Why? Because 40 years have passed. And now I'm able to chap the depth of what you meant, Moshe Rabbeinu, 40 years earlier. And I'm able to see things that I did not see before. I always say the following, Eitan probably has heard, I've heard this from you already. I heard this from Rav David Orlovsky. Rav David Orlovsky speaks always at the Emunah Day. Moshe Orlovsky's uncle. Yeah. I think he's his uncle. He's a very funny speaker, but he also has often a lot of content. And he learned a lot by a very big Baal Machshava that I also, when I was younger, heard many, many, many shirim from Rav Moshe Shapira. Zatzal. Tremendous Baal Machshava. In the yeshiva world, the Haredi yeshiva world, is considered like the biggest Baal Machshava of the generation. Anyways, so Rav David Orlovsky, the first time he came to speak on Emunah Day, I remember that. I didn't remember his speech, but and not even the jokes, but I do remember the following, because Rav Moshe Shapira is somebody who I heard a lot. He said the following. Once on Purim, Rav Moshe was in his house, and many of his Talmidim came in. there was Sudat Purim going on, and somebody being Purim, so somebody had enough guts to ask Rav Moshe, how did you become Rav Moshe? And he was he had a demeanor of like tough. Okay, you wouldn't just, I got a, you know, a few times I've asked him questions and I didn't always get the nicest responses. Yeah, he was like, you had to think five times before you go and ask a question. Anyways, but Purim is Purim. So yeah, how did you become? I think somebody would ask Rav Evansal, Yibadel HaChaim, how did you become Rav Evansal? It's not a question you ask during the year. Purim you ask. So this was his answer. He said, I'll tell you, I was a young yeshiva boy in Ponovich, where Rabbeinu learned. Back, I guess, in the early 60s. Maybe in the 50s. Anyways, one night during night seder, there was a hafsakat chashmal. There was a blackout, and all the yeshiva boys went out. It was totally dark. I'm assuming that there weren't all kind of like fixtures like today for like
emergency light,
right? So it was totally dark. Couldn't learn. So they stepped outside, and they were standing next to the beis medrash near the windows, but standing outside, schmoozing. At some point, they were able to hear that the old famous Mashgiach, Rav Dessler, was sitting in the Bet Midrash of Ponovich, and he was repeating to himself a maimer of Chazal, a quote from Chazal, in the dark. He was sitting in the dark and just quoting, I don't know what the quote was. He didn't say, or I don't remember. I don't think he said. He said a quote of Chazal, and then he repeated it again, and then he repeated it a third time, and an eighth time, and a ninth time, and just kept going. And then Rav Moshe said that after 10 times, he and his friends, they were young, started laughing. It sounded like a little funny to them that he's repeating the same line over and over and over. 10 times, started laughing. After 20 times, they turned silent. And after 30 times, they started trembling. And after 40 times, they started crying. And then he said, and then I understood how deep the words of Chazal actually are. Interesting that it's 40. I didn't think about that. That was his answer.
Yeah, you hear so many times understand it.
You have to go over and over and over and over. It took them 40 times to hear it in order to chap that there's a lot there to hear. Okay? And that there's a lot there that Rav Dessler is trying to hear in the darkness. I'm thinking about this now also. There's something quality in the darkness that you're able to to chop the depth, because somehow, as we know, that when singing in the dark is a different experience than regular singing. Okay, so so in any case, so
we have Micha now.
Yeah,
it's being recorded.
It's being recorded. And by Yaitan, I understood that you're going to Mincha. You can send regards to the Chabad Shaliach. Okay, so we see from the beginning of Shalom Dani. Shalom Aleichem. You're joining us in the middle. I'm not going to do, I can't do Chazar right now, okay? Okay, I'm actually recording, so you can listen afterwards. Anyways, Dani, what we saw, Daron and Eitan and I here, what we were seeing was that what you, I'm sure, already remember, and you know, Sefer Devarim wraps itself up at the end in Parshat Ki Tavo as the Parsha, the book at the end of the 40 years, where at last, after 40 years, Klal Yisrael attained or acquired Lev Ladat, Enayim Lirot, Ve'oznayim Lishmoa, which the miracles in Yitziat Mitzrayim that they already saw 40 years later, they weren't able to really understand what was going on there. And only after 40 years did they actually have the ability to comprehend. We spoke a lot about the built-in discrepancy between reality and our perception of reality, and how much effort a person needs to put into understanding Divrei Torah. The Gemara learns from this in two places that it takes 40 years to understand the depth of Divrei Torah that a Rebbe taught. Anyways, what it taught us in terms of Sefer Devarim, that is that Sefer Devarim clearly is a book by definition, by Chazal, Mishneh Torah. Let's read everything a second time. Let's reread everything. But this time we're going to chop things with a lev ladat and a naim lirot and oznaim lishmoa in a way that we're not able to all these 40 years. And that's as significant as can be, because that means that anything that's going to be read again, any event that was described earlier in Torah that is now going to come up again in Mishneh Torah, we have to listen very carefully to the way it's being repeated, because the repetition is going to be, and it always actually is, presented quite differently, sometimes even seemingly contradictory to the way it was presented originally. So much so that we know that the biblical critics, I'm laughing, okay, but the biblical critics at the time, or maybe still today, claim that Sefer Devarim was written by somebody else much later on in history, because it's so different, and everything that it describes is qualitatively different. So for biblical atheists, biblical critics, in universities around the world, so they take it and they interpret it to be a different author. For us, it's all one holistic Torat Moshe, of course, but at every Chumash, you're standing on another level in God's highly complex, multi-layered world, and therefore you see the real world differently. But what's unique about the perspective of Sefer Dvarim is they were able to chop things that the previous Chumashim, quote-unquote, did not yet chop. Not that the Chumashim didn't chop. But we're not able to chop. Or Bnei Yisrael, during those years, we're not able to happen. Only in Sefer Devarim do we get to a level where we are able to. Now that alone, let's just elaborate on this a little. That alone, speaking of Sefer Devarim, as the book that escorts, the book that guides the processes of tshuva that we're busy with these weeks from Parsha Devarim and Tisha B'Av, all the way to Shmini Atzeret, the entire tshuva process that we're now in the midst of it in Chodesh Elul, Aseret Yemei Tshuva, until the completion of it on Shmini Atzeret, Sefer Devarim is responsible for this entire process, and it completely escorts it and pours constantly content into it. And that all teaches us, if we wrap up everything that we spoke about till now in the last 40 minutes together, what we will therefore claim is that Sefer Devarim, as escorting or guiding the ways of tshuva, as I suggested earlier, Dani, that maybe one of the definitions that one can give, one of the titles one can give Sefer Dvarim is Sefer HaTshuva. The first stage in a tshuva process is, first of all, to be open to see my life experiences or even my mistakes and my chataim and life in general in a different perspective than what I have been used to. And to crack the notion that the way I experience it is the way, is the only valid interpretation. And possibly there are other ways that I can comprehend it, interpret it, and frame it in a different way that I have framed it in my mind before. What do I mean by framing it? Giving it a different context, seeing it in a different light. Okay? Now we have a little more time, so let's from the end of the Devarim, let's now go to the beginning of Sefer Devarim. Okay? So open up at the very beginning of Sefer Devarim. We'll have to do this a little quickly. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. אלה הדברים אשר דיבר משה אל כל ישראל. Don't worry, we're not reading all the psukim inside. אלה הדברים אשר דיבר משה אל כל ישראל בעבר הירדן. Okay, that's the opening of Sefer Devarim, hence the name Sefer Devarim, besides the Chazal name, Sefer Mishneh Torah. From the very opening words, we see that it's clearly a chumash of its own category, different than, categorically different than the rest of the chumashim. How is that? Because the chumash launches off with defining itself as the words of Moshe. To say it in simple words, I've said it in the past also, this is not a chumash of the classic, most common pasuk in Chamisha Chumshei Torah, quote, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, end of quote. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't appear once in Sefer Devarim. God never speaks in Sefer Devarim. Moshe speaks in Sefer Devarim, by definition. Ela advarim asher diber Moshe. The Gemara. What?
That would be a different offer.
According to them? If we meet them, we'll talk. We'll ask them. It's a good question. אלה הדברים אשר דיבר משה אל כל ישראל. Okay, so the Gemara Masechet Megillah actually says that explicitly. Comes to Sefer Devarim. It's about Parshat Kitavo, in fact. The klalot של במשנה תורה, the klalot of Parshat Kitavo, משה מפי עצמו אמרה, as opposed to בחוקותיי, משה מפי הגבורה אמרה. It's a different level of גילוי תורה. It's a different level of גילוי דברי תורה. One is הקדוש ברוך הוא speaking somehow through Moshe, and one, הקדוש ברוך הוא is again speaking through Moshe. It's a different level. It's presented differently. It's not by דבר השם. It's by אלה הדברים אשר דיבר משה. It's different. Okay? Okay. So, שלום אהרן. So if this is the case, אלה הדברים אשר דיבר משה אל כל ישראל, skip together, having, assuming you have a chumash in front of you, a few psukim down, there's a lot in every pasuk here that one can say, of course, but skip the pasuk, hey, בעבר הירדן, בארץ מואב, הועיל משה באר את התורה הזאת למור, משה started באר את התורה, למור, מה זה באר? So, interestingly and beautifully enough, Be'er has two meanings, like many words in Lashon HaKodesh. Very good, Doron. Doron here in Yeshiva is saying that it has one level of meaning is explained, such as, for example, the famous Be'ur HaGra, Al HaShulchan Aruch, right? Be'ur. But Doron points out that Be'er has another meaning, and that is a well. So what's the relationship between a well and explain? And clearly, Be'ur is a somewhat different than Perush, or not exactly the same. But Be'ur, as an let's just say in English that it's interpretation or explanation, without going into the specifics of the difference between Be'ur and Perush. What's the relationship between Be'ur and Be'er? So it seems that the meaning of it is that in the same way that in a Be'er, there is hidden water underneath the surface of the ground. And what the Be'er allows is to draw Ma'im Amukim, which is mentioned in the Pasuk, deep waters which are hidden, and to reveal them and to expose them. When you are Meva'el, Divrei Torah, you are welling out, you are discovering hidden water, hidden and Ma'im Ala Torah, you're hidden, the hidden explanations which are under the surface, you're surfacing it. Okay, so Be'ur, in terms of explanation, is surfacing the underlying, hidden, till now, explanation. Okay, so in any case, this alone, again, shows that Sefer Devarim is its own category. Yesh et HaTorah, v'yesh et Be'ur HaTorah. Efo matchil Be'ur HaTorah? Po, b'Sefer Devarim. אז אתה יכול לקרוא לזה משנה תורה, אבל יכול להיות שגם אפשר לקרוא לזה ביאור התורה. The first stage in the ביאור of the Torah, in the explanation of Torah. No wonder I often quote somebody like a very deep thinker, Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, okay? A very big influence on me, especially when I was younger. One of the most terrific thinkers in the world of Hasidut, who actually did not start off his life as a Hasid, only later on. A huge Talmid Chacham. And a very, very deep thinker, very original and daring thinker, actually, Reb Tzadok HaKohen. Reb Chaim Rosenblatt, a couple of years ago, I think, did a siyum in all of his sfarim. So, in any case, so I think I saw in Reb Tzadok many years ago, he defines Sefer Devarim as the root or the shomesh of Torah Sheba'al Peh. The beginning of the beginning of Torah Sheba'al Peh is in the inside of Torah Shebachtav. That is what Sefer Devarim is. If you wish, he doesn't say it as such, but it sounds to me as if Sefer Devarim is the bridge between Torah Shebachtav and Torah Sheba'al Peh. Po matchil be'ur ha-Torah. Torah Sheba'al Peh is already the Torah that comes out of the mouth, peh, of a human being, of Talmidei HaChachamim, Rabbi Akiva v'chaverav. Where does it actually begin? It begins in Moshe. Elu ha-dvarim asher diber Moshe. Okay? Now, this is actually fascinating. Why? Because we mean whatever we're going to say in a moment is till now hayat haTorah. Achshav matchil be'ur haTorah. Now it's very fascinating then to see where do I choose to start off be'ur haTorah from? We're summing up now 40 years. Now so many things happened. So many parshiyot unfolded. Where do we choose to go? That's fascinating. We are rereading 40 years. So one can do that in infinite ways. So the way that Moshe is going to be doing is a specific choice of his Kadosh Baruch Hu, Lama Shana right now. Akol Mishamayim, Akol the Ruach HaKodesh. But we can, it's clearly not just a random chazara. Chas v'shalom. There is a very specific thought out be'ur, which has, we have to try to learn it. What's the meaning of why do you start with this and then you continue there? So let's see it. We have mamash a few minutes. Let's start. Let's try to do that. Okay. So look inside, please. Where does it begin with? We'll do this quickly. Perek aleph pasuk chet. Or Pasuk Vav, Hashem Elokeinu Diber Elenu Bechirov Lemo. Enough time at Har Sinai, time to start journeying, to go at Eretz Israel, Eretz Lechnani. Go inherit it. But at that time, skip with me to Pasuk Tet. Pasuk Tet, V'amar Alechem Ba'etahi Lemo, Lo Uchal Levadi Se'et Etchem. But I told you at the time that I can no longer carry you on my own, because God multiplied you and you are like the stars now. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Hashem Elokei Avotechem Yosef Alechem Kachem Elef Pa'amim, V'yivarech Etchem Kasher Diber Lachem. Eicha Asa Levadi Terchachem U'masachem Berivchem. This is the Pasuk we read in the tune of Eicha. הבו לכם אנשים חכמים ונבונים וידועים לשבטיכם ועשימם ברשכם ותענו אותי ותאמרו טוב הדבר אשר דיברת לעשות ויקח את ראשי שבטיכם אנשים חכמים וידועים ויתן אותם ראשים עליכם שרי אלפים ושרי מאות ושרי חמישים ושרי עשרות ושוטרים לשבטיכם. We know this. Where do we know this from? From which parsha in the Torah? Of establishing שרי אלפים, שרי מאות, שרי... From Parshat Yitro. This is the advice that his father-in-law Yitro gave him. Yitro is not mentioned here at all. It's spoken about in Farshim. Why not? But interesting. Of all things that happened in the 40 years, we're starting off of everything with the fact that at some point it was too much and there was a need to choose leaders amongst you to join in the leadership. Now there it was presented as Yitro came giving the advice. Here it's not. Here's a classic Sefer Mishneh Torah example, how the rereading in Mishneh Torah is always going to be different than the way it is previously. It's never going to be the same, because we're coming to look at it from a different angle now. So, okay. Why are we starting from that? We can start from many different things. Of everything that we ever went through, not Mount Har Sinai, not the miracles in Mitzrayim, not Kirat Yam Suf, not Chet HaEgel, a lot of which will come up later. No. We start off with the need for leadership. Okay? So that's what happens. Skip together with me. And this all continues. There's no gap. You notice there's no revach. It's not that we've moved the topic. It's one continuum. That's significant as can be. Okay? So just skip with me. Then it's all one continuum. At some point, Pasuk Kaf, move on to Pasuk 20. V'amar alechem ba'atem ad-harayim mori asher Hashem Elokeinu noten lanu. Re'en, natan Hashem Elokeinu lefanech et ha'aretz. Ale resh kasher diber Hashem Elokeinu avotecha lach, al tira ve'al techat. Go inherit the land. Pasuk 22, listen to this. So you came to me, v'tikrevun elai kulchem, you all came to me, v'tomrun, nishlecha anashim lefaneinu, let us send people. V'yachperu lanu ta'aretz, so they can check out the land. V'yashivu otanu davar, את הדרך אשר נעלה בה ותארים אשר נבוא עליהן. What is this going back to now? As Doron said, חטא מרגלים. חטא מרגלים. Now it's presented differently. In חטא מרגלים, in פרשת שלח, it's introduced that Hashem says to Moshe, send people, שפח לך אנשים. Here it's introduced very differently, that the people came and said, let's send people. Okay? So, what happens? Okay, so I accept it. And I take 12 people, a member from each tribe, and they spy it. By the way, only here we find the term spy. In Parshat Shlach, we only find latur. Okay. And they bring it. The land is very good. Meaning, Sefer Devarim, we're focusing on what Yeshua and Caleb said. In Parshat Shlach, we're mainly focusing on what the 10 other Meraglim said, which was the negative Lashon Hara about the land. And you didn't want to go up, even though you got a good report. We weren't willing to go up. And you rebel against the word of God. Now listen to this. I quote this every year. You complained in your tents. The sinat Hashem otanu otzianu meretz Mitzrayim latet otanu biyada emori lashmideinu. You sat in your tents at the night of Chet HaMeraglim and you complained that it's God's hatred of us, the Jewish people, that led Him to take us out of Eretz Mitzrayim and to take us into the desert and to give us into the hands of the Emorim so that we to demolish us. You hear this? That God hates us. We didn't say this in Parshat Shlach. It didn't say it there. At the end of the 40 years, however we understand it, I mean, mature enough to be able to hear the truth, it wasn't said then. God's hatred took us out of Mitzrayim. Ribbono shel Olam, we sit Seder night and Pesach night, and just in order to recognize the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did with us, that's what the whole night is about. It's the night that defines our identity, Leila Seder. And they flipped it and interpreted it completely as a manifestation and expression of God's hatred of us. It's unbelievable. These psukim don't get enough attention.
Why is it repeating what
happened before? Why is it going over? That's what Sefer Mishnah Torah is about. Let's repeat it a second time. But, as we said, it's different. Okay, so there's a lot that could be said. Let's wrap up for today. Let's say the following. We asked, Sefer Devarim, Mishnah Torah, means let's read everything, reread it. Let's go and read it the second time. But we're going to see things differently this time. Okay, and that second time around is going to be the bi'ul of the first time. Okay, so where do we start summing up 40 years from? So let's check. So we start off with the fact that it was too much to lead to be the leader of everybody, we need to take others to be leaders. Next stage is Chet HaMeraglim. All this being one continuum. What's the continuum? What are we building up over here? What is Sefer Devarim trying to do? What are we starting off this Chazara over 40 years about? What's the theme? If I were to work here, let's say it was a Sefer Devarim Shir, daily shir. We would work with the board. And I asked, okay, give a title to what we just read. It would be very difficult. I think, and we'll continue Bezat Hashem already next week, but I suspect to suggest the following. We'll wrap up with this for tonight. That it might be the following. What Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to do over here is to build up the recognition that others, other than him, were brought into the picture to provide their perspective. The system of Torah opened itself up to the interpretation into the perspective of others. Meaning, till the point, till that day where others were taken to leadership, Moshe alone was the only leader, and his perspective and his teachings were the only one there. Nobody else was counted. Nobody else was considered. No other perspective was taken into consideration. The moment we open the system to others, other perspectives, we start becoming, receiving their room. What happens? What's the price? Once you open up the system to other people's perspectives, you can reach the next stage, and that is your interpretation, or possibly misinterpretation, of everything can destroy everything. Meaning, I want to open up the system for others to participate. Which is what we start off the Chazara from. And that is Sarei Asarot, Sarei Meot, Sarei Alafim, etc. What's the trade-off? What's the price? Where it turns over. It turns her over into a level where people sit and are convinced and interpret all of the Yetziat Mitzrayim and the miracles and Kriyat Yam Suf and Matan Torah and everything that they were experiencing in the desert as a hatred of God. Meaning, it might be that what Sefer Dvarim as being the book that interprets Torah, what it launches off with is about the secrets of interpretation. That is really what the book is about. The book launches off by bringing us to the realization there is a gap between reality and how you perceive reality, between reality and how you interpret it. And on the one hand, I need to open up the system for you to comprehend, for you to perceive, for you to give your perspective. It doesn't say it over here, but I'm adding, as it says in Parsha Yitro, Yitro said to the son of Moshe, they're all going to die out if you don't open up the system for them. It's blocked off and you're the only one and only soul leader. If you want their soul also involved, they need to be involved. They need to be caring. They need to be sharing in the leadership, in the production, in the manufacturing of Divrei Torah. But if that's the case, the book of the interpretation of Torah, the Shorash of Torah Shebe'al Peh, starts off with the opening to the multiplicities of interpretations of many others other than just Moshe. But the price is that if I open up the system to the interpretation, things can flip to destructive interpretation and to interpreting all of Yetziat Mitzrayim to the hatred of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which destroys everything that God intended in the first place. And that might be, and we'll finish with that for today, the first stage in moving towards tshuva is, number one, first of all, reaching this realization. Reality and my perception of reality is not the same thing. And only to the extent that I realize that, can I start mending my mistakes, and I can start checking where is reality and where is my interpretation of reality, and what's the relationship between them? How much did I drift off from reality? How much do I suffer from misinterpretation of experiences in my life and events in my life in a way that touches every single aspect of my life? What we go through in life, the experiences that we go through, there is what we go through, but there is my interpretation of what I go through. And many of us, and we'll finish with this, suffer in our life because of having interpreted what we've gone through in life in certain ways, which causes us pain, sometimes depression, and many emotional tzarot because of interpretations that we hold on to of experiences that we went through in life. And a lot of what heals a person's heart is when he realizes that the gap between events, realities, experiences, and how I comprehend them, how I explain them, how I interpret them, איך אני מבאר אותם, that's a very different story. And that, Be'ezrat Hashem, next week will continue, because the possibility for tshuva, a lot of what tshuva is about is the coming back to the same events and coming back to a lot of my life, but by reading it differently and relating it to it differently and giving it a different frame, reframing it and reinterpreting it and recontextualizing it in a way that can be a beginning of a healing and a sweetening of a lot of the bitterness that people suffer in life. Many examples one can bring. We'll talk about it, Be'ezrat Hashem, already next week. Say that.
Thank you.